thirsty. We should podcast so I can drink this thing.
Oh, I see. That's why we're podcasting.
Yes. So greetings, Apropos-y, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And I've got a beer in front of
me. Yay!
I've got a crowler of honey kolsch from Bald Man Brewing.
Okay. Does it taste like honey? And or kolsch?
Tastes like a honey kolsch to me.
That is a strong endorsement.
Oh, that's pretty fucking good.
Where is it on the hop scale?
Not very.
I'm going to start asking these questions about various beers. Because that's the only thing I care about.
I'm not big on hops myself, so not very.
All right.
Not like former podcaster, current friend, Big Bear, who loves a drink with some hoppiness in it.
Nope. No hoppiness for me. I am drinking an iced tea with whiskey in it.
That sounds delightful.
Lovely.
I may have accidentally gone a little too heavy on the whiskey.
No such thing.
Real fun. This turns out.
I refuse to acknowledge that there is any such thing.
Well, I'm trying to like empty things out of my fridge in preparation for the move this weekend. So I'm just like going through anything that exists in there. Just like, I wonder if I can make a drink out of this summer sausage. Like.
Yeah, it's a Wisconsin martini. That's
I was just about to say
Bloody Mary. It would actually
Bloody Mary, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But I don't have anything tomato. I suppose I could use a jar of tomato sauce and water it down.
I mean, I've definitely heard
with vodka.
I don't know.
If Dr. Pepper is the universal mixer.
Yes.
Is a Bloody Mary the universal pairing?
Interesting. Maybe.
Like the thing you can put all foods into?
Yeah, well, just a pair with, like wine pairings, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like you can drink a Bloody Mary.
Does Bloody Mary just
kind of
go with anything?
Goes with tacos. Goes with burgers.
Fuck yeah,
pizza.
Goes with pizza.
I love that we're
steak.
Talking about like all
those are all
of this,
the high notes.
Like,
so who?
Yeah.
About what else?
I mean,
fish. It does go
steak tartare.
Yeah.
God.
I think we might need to explore this further.
I'm trying to think of fancier things. Crepes. It's a good breakfast drink.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Ramen.
Yeah.
If I drank before going to the booth, ever. Having crepes and a Bloody Mary in the morning sounds
awesome. Oh, doesn't it though?
So I'll say you need to come by the booth in the mornings more often, by the way. I'm just putting that out there right now. Cause when you came by and you were drumming, even though it was a little bit because we didn't have a lot of people, it was still fantastic.
Oh yeah. I absolutely plan on doing it as much as I can. It's just, difficult.
Bring the
sometimes.
Kids. We'll put them in jackets.
That's how I found out I work with Salsa when we first became introduced.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never did hear the grand romantic tale of James and Salsa.
No. I tripped and my dick landed in his butt.
And I, for my part, saw
tripped,
a stranger.
He tripped me.
He bent over. Yeah, okay.
Saw a stranger bent over and tripped him.
James, what are you drinking?
So, Truly has margarita-style hard seltzers.
Oh. You're making me look less white.
They're not.
Like, how did that happen? I just like... You took all of my white girl vibes. I don't even know what to do right now.
James is going to start using the word fetch.
Fetch is not happening.
Stop trying to make fetch be a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, how is your hard seltzer?
This is a strawberry hibiscus. Truly margarita style.
Oh my god, it just gets worse.
Yeah, there's no
wow,
no bottom to this.
If there was a booze that said basic more than White Claw, it's this one.
No, absolutely. Truly, seltzers have kind of outclassed White Claw at this point as the white girl mm-hmm. drink. I would know. I am a white girl, and I have had them.
White.
White Claw. So,
all right. So how is it, James?
I mean, it kind of tastes like a strawberry daiquiri. It's not.
Does it taste basic?
A little.
Is it your basic drink?
It's not bad. I would probably drink a few of these, but I don't think I bought the box because I was curious about it.
He would drink a few of them and then yell woo at traffic.
Yeah. Or tell the bouncer that I know the DJ.
Yep.
You probably do know the DJ,
and
though.
And then ask the DJ to place that song. The one, you know, it's like do 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 do.
Yep.
That one. Play that.
Yes.
Play that one.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Yeah. All my friends are waiting. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So, Salsa, what did you do over the weekend?
I was at a Renaissance festival, or more appropriately, Casimir was at a Renaissance festival, and I happened to be Casimir. this was the Fantasy of the Lakes Renaissance Festival. It's the first time I've done this festival in this iteration. The current owner used to be the founder of LARF, but LARF is no longer a thing, so now there's LARF. Fantasy of the Lakes. Lakes Area Royal Fair. But
Royal Fair? I thought it was Lakes Area Renaissance Fair.
No, it was specifically the Royal Fair.
I've never been to any other Minnesota fair or whatever. Like the most local fair I've been to is Bristol.
Yeah.
Minnesota. So,
but this one, it is at a new site this year. This site is on a point in the lake, so it was like it's a park and it has like a little beach area with sand. But because it stuck out into the lake, it was very windy. Windy the whole weekend, which means my very first show, the wind had calmed a little bit, and I was like, I'm going to give it a go. And then the wind picked up, and I was like, well, I'm cutting the fire eating short because this fucking sucks. And I didn't do any fire eating for the rest of the weekend. The fire eating just got completely cut from my show. I still did the fireball at the one point in my show, but the fire eating was just didn't happen.
Absolutely.
But it was, like I said, up in Lindstrom, about an hour north of the cities. Delightful little,
adorable little town.
Mm-hmm. Very Scandinavian feel, and it's a little festival. Probably a dozen vendors there. They had Dickie's barbecue for food, which was. They just had one stage. So it was me and some belly dancers, and Eddie Jeff Cahill. Was doing music.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Did Salsa cut out for you as well, James?
Nope, I can hear him.
Okay.
It sounded like he disappeared and then came back.
Weird. Okay. Where did I?
I don't know. Talk about the belly dancers some more.
Okay, yep. Yeah. The belly dancers, it was Dan Sashkina belly dancers, and Eddie Jeff Cahill was doing his music there.
Nice. And, love Cahill.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was very low key, just kind of get to hanging out with Eddie Jeff and Terry Foy showed up on Sunday morning. I didn't recognize him at first because he was in like human clothes and had a mask on.
Yeah,
like he came up and started talking. Yeah, he came up and started talking to Eddie Jeff and me at one point, and I just thought he was a random dude until I suddenly went, "Oh shit, it's Terry Foy."
Terry Foy is like my long distance uncle.
Yeah, no, he's a great person. It was a fantastic conversation. the three of us had. But yeah, I just didn't recognize him at first. But the big thing there was my daughter came with me.
Ooh.
Yeah. So my
how many swords did she swallow?
No.
None that Raiderly knows about.
Yeah. No. So she, my daughter, just got done with her COVID quarantine. She tested negative. Mm-hmm. Ended her quarantine. Duration, and she was clear to go. But my son was not feeling well. He has been testing negative, both the spit test and the nose swab.
The PRC.
So he keeps testing negative, but he wasn't feeling the best over the weekend. And my wife is still in COVID quarantine. So it was just like, let's take my daughter to the Renaissance Festival. And I did. Oh, yeah. And she was my assistant, and she fucking killed it. She absolutely killed it. She was super helpful. She helped me carry stuff, and she helped me set up, and she helped me with hat pass, and she counted all of the tips all by herself. She was really excited to do that. And
did you do a 50-50 split?
No, but she did get to buy a beautiful pewter like fairy pin. It's a little fairy, and the wings were leaves, like maple leaf like sections. Okay. Sure. Beautiful little pewter piece that was painted pewter that she really loved, and it was just like, yes, you can absolutely have this for helping me out. So she got paid. She was a fantastic helper, and she was smiling and laughing the whole time. She never complained. I never had to tell her to do things twice. She was just an absolute delight to be with the whole weekend. And then on Sunday, a friend of mine who used to be one of the belly dancers out at Fest, she was an apprentice with the Caravan Belly Dance Troupe. Okay. She brought her daughters, and so her daughters and my daughter spent just like 3 hours running around and playing with each other. Okay. And they were adorable, all of them running around together, and it was so Believe much this. Fun. But yeah, it's a fun little festival. It's didn't have a huge turnout, but a little festival just getting its legs under it, that's kind of to be expected.
Sure.
I actually was kind of concerned because I would like look around the site and you didn't really see anyone. But then I started hawking my show and yelling, and they just came out of the fucking woodwork.
Just poof,
just like nobody on the grounds, and I start yelling, and next thing I know, I've got 30 people standing in front of me. Holy I was fuck. Like, where the fuck did you come from?
Where did you go?
Little bit to kind of puzzle it out, but I realized that because there's not a big street presence at a small festival like this, the draw is the vendors.
Oh, sure.
And
sure.
So everybody is inside the vendor tents.
And
they'll come out and go to the next vendor tent, and they'll disappear inside. So you look out and you don't see a lot of bodies just milling. But then when a show does begin at the stage, then they all come out of the shops to go see the show. I was just like, oh, nice. Suddenly there's a lot of people there. I actually did really well. I had some really good hats.
Nice.
But yeah, no.
At least part of that was due to your daughter.
Oh, probably. I mean, you know that, right? Probably. Yeah. Probably.
We used to eat Arroganti the first year out at Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Jessa was six.
Yep.
And she was hawking for us. And one of my favorite stories from that. I've interrupted and I'm sidetracking. But this is an adorable story.
No, it absolutely is.
So she was my mini Arlecchino, and she had a little baby slapstick. It was tiny, James. It was tiny. Tiny Arlecchino with a tiny slapstick. Tiny. And so, I mean, she had a couple of bit parts in the show, and like she was fucking pro too. Mm. Like she was on time.
Again, born a 40-year-old.
Born a 40-year-old woman, yeah. Mm-hmm. But like she knew that her biggest reason for being there was to collect tips. And one of the things we did to open E Arroganti was Ernesto was playing the Capitano, and he would threaten people with his stick. And at one point, I'm in the backstage getting things ready, and Ernesto is threatening my child in front, as he does. Oh, I'm gonna get you, kind of stuff, right? And my daughter shouts back at him, "You can't kill me. You need me for the tips." And I am backstage and I am dead.
There's at that moment the vilification tennis.
Yeah. So, yeah, and it's true. Anytime that she had to bow out of a particular show or for collecting or whatever, it was just like, nope, I'm six and I'm done. Yep. Which you just kind of have to accept when you're working with a six-year-old.
Definitely. Yeah.
I'm six and I'm done. You just accept that.
Yep.
But yeah, like there was a noticeable decrease in tips when Jessa was not out there collecting.
Indeed. So yeah, no, it was a delightful weekend. So I took my daughter and had a wonderful time, just the two of us, a little daddy-daughter thing.
Yeah.
And my wife and son stayed home, and my son sat in front of the TV all day, feeling sick, and my wife did a lot of gardening, and everybody was happy.
Yay!
So yeah, it was a great weekend. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. It'll be interesting to see what this festival does as time moves forward. They originally didn't want to use this park. They wanted to go to the other park because the other park was a little bigger. But now that they were at the site and kind of used it, they were like, we actually kind of like this site. We might stick with this spot.
Right.
Which makes things difficult for me because, again, windy.
right.
So I need to decide if I'm going to keep doing this or go to Janesville, which I don't get paid as much and it's further away, but I can actually do fire. So there's trade-offs there.
Yeah. There's trade-offs. Although, like, I don't know. I think for me it would come down to pay. Like,
yeah.
But I'm not you.
No, definitely. Absolutely. So, there's pros and cons.
I thank God every day that I am not you.
I also really like the Janesville Festival's philosophy. They give one of the reasons I don't get paid as much at Janesville is because they give a lot of their take to charity.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, exactly. So it's always that fight when I look at every year when I look at the schedule of all the festivals that I do, it's always like, well, there's a couple tough decisions I need to make.
Yeah.
Which is why I was so angry because in 2020, none of the festivals overlapped. Every single fucking festival had its own weekend and it was going to be amazing. And then fuck, it turned into 2020.
Yep.
And then 2020.
Then all of that happened.
It was like the universe was taunting me. They were like, here's the perfect season. Now you get nothing.
I mean, I was so excited for Die Laughing that year too. And
everything was on weekends. Yoink.
Everything it was actually like going on schedule, which fuck, man. Like, after 8 years, you'd think I'd finally figure it the fuck out.
Nah. So anyway, that was my weekend. It was a delight.
Nice.
Awesome. I can go next.
Sure.
I'm not going to go through, like, all of the things that I did, because it's primarily moving focused. Mm-hmm. But I have two stories I want to tell. The first one is along the lines of houses and whatnot. So my mom died a while back.
Yeah.
Yep. She's dead. I have homework. And a part of that is that she owned a house. And in order to figure out estate stuff, somebody has to initiate probate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as probate. God damn it.
Oh, I was just laughing at the word probe.
Oh.
I was laughing at the word bait.
We're like Jack Sprat and his wife.
God damn it. And so between the both of you, you licked the platter clean? I'm concerned. Yeah. I have questions that I don't want answered.
Licked the platter clean.
Mm-mm. Do not want answered. So anyway, so somebody has to initiate probate. And normally, that would fall to me as the next of kin. I don't want it.
No, yeah.
I'm not, I don't want to inherit a house. I don't want medical debt. I don't want to have to deal with any of that. Especially since I could try to inherit her house. She set up no living will, nothing.
Right.
So everything's up in the air, and we'd have a long struggle to figure out who got what anyway, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to be the person to deal with all of that.
Yeah.
And my aunt, too, doesn't want to be the person to deal with all of that. So we decided that we were going to let the bank initiate probate.
Mm-hmm.
So the bank that owns my mother's house will have to deal with all of that. The bank won't initiate probate until the house goes into foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And a side story onto this is that my aunt had actually paid for the house through the end of the year just to make sure that we could get stuff out of the house and take care of any things that, like, we wanted to take care of.
Yeah.
And so then she sent the bank a copy of my mother's death certificate, right? And the bank was like, cool, we have this on file now, and sent it back, and then sent a bill. And my aunt was like, I'm not going to pay this. Like, she's dead. We want this to foreclose. And the bank's like, we have to follow the procedure and send a certain number of things.
Oh, Jesus.
And my aunt was like, even though she's dead and you have documentation, they're like, yep. And she's like, so what happens if I don't pay for this? And the bank says, well, it will negatively affect her credit. Uh-huh. Wait,
your aunt's?
No.
Oh, your
my
dead mother's.
Mother's.
I don't foresee a lot of large purchases.
Oh, no.
Which my aunt said, well, she didn't have that good of a credit anyway, so what's another couple notches to a dead woman? Uh-huh.
Wow.
I know your mother's not go in that direction, but I can just imagine, like, getting to the pearly gates and St. Peter's like, 570, huh?
Also, you're still being generous.
I just wrote a fucking number.
Mm-hmm. yeah. So anyway.
I'm sorry. I think you kind of need at least a 620 to get into here.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I would actually, though, like, for heaven proper, I would assume the lower your credit score, the more likelihood
you have. I suppose, blessed are the poor.
Because blessed are the poor, it is easier for a camel to navigate through the eye of a needle than it is for rich men to enter into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are the cheesemongers. Yep, all of that.
Yes, blessed are the cheesemongers. Well,
I think it means the entire dairy industry in general.
So anyway, so I have to wait at least 6 months from the last payment that went in.
Fuck.
Before the bank will can legally foreclose on it, even though she's dead in the first place, right? That's how
isn't
the
bureaucracy
works.
Great, kids?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Marley was dead to begin with.
That is one of the most apropos things you have ever said on this podcast, James.
How dare you, James?
So anyway, so we're waiting on the foreclosure so that bank will initiate probate. In the meantime, her estate is just basically frozen. Nothing goes in, nothing goes out. Nobody inherits a goddamn thing. Like, we went in and grabbed the things that we want. I've got a couple of nice pictures, and the little, like, the baby booties in metal.
Oh, like, yeah, the bronzed. Yeah.
Yeah, bronzed, except it was pewtered, I think. But whatever. The same concept.
Sure.
Different metals. But yeah. So, like, I grabbed some things like that. And then just now we're just waiting on probate. In the meantime, a couple months back, I started getting emails from random people saying, hey, I would like to buy your property at 2000 blah, blah, blah Avenue. I will take, you know, I'm sure we can come to a reasonable price. We can this, that, and the other thing. I will give you $5,000 regardless of whether or not I end up buying it if you just open up negotiations with me.
Jesus.
I'm pretty sure we can't come to a good agreement.
I'm like,
nice
I don't
try.
Own this property. I understand how you would think that me being next of kin would be the one to own this property, but I don't. But I've been getting these emails and just ignoring them because fuck you. One guy sent me a second follow-up email, at which point I just said, please take me off your list. Like, I just gave a short and sweet, please take me off your list. So I want you to file that aside for a second.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we're going to shift over to a few days ago. I had given my landlord my number and we were trying to communicate over getting my keys to the new place, which I did. We'll get back to that. So we're trying to communicate over this and I'm having a text conversation and he tries to call me. And so I go to answer this call, but it drops before I can answer it. And I was like, well, that's weird. So I text my landlord a little bit later because I was working, right? And I had to finish a thing. So I text him back later. I'm like, hey, did you try to call me? He's like, yeah, but a different person picked up. And I was like, what?
The what?
That's weird. I'll have to look into that. And I was like, do you want me to call you? And he's like, yes, that would be great. So I called him, figured it the fuck out. And I went to get the keys. And I was like, all right, I'm going to have to look into this because that's bizarre. And it's not the first time I've heard of somebody having that issue. Like, it happened to one or two other people in the past couple months.
Huh.
And I was like, that's bizarre. So the next morning, I check my email, and there is an email from a guy named Seth. And this fella says, hello, Jenna. I'm contacting you because I think that some of your phone calls are coming to me and text messages. And I'm like, aha, so there is an issue with this. So I asked, and he was like, is your phone number really close to this one? And then provides a phone number. And the phone number he provided is my old phone number from 5 years ago.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So that explains some of how he could be getting people calling for me, right? Or trying to get a hold of me. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't explain why that phone call from my landlord rang both of us and he picked up and got it. And I was like, I have had this Google voicemail number for longer than I've had a Google Fi. I wonder if there's a thing. And so I talked to Google Fi and they went, why, yes, we do have set up that your phone number will also forward to this old phone number.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
It hasn't been an issue because Seth just got my old phone number 4 months ago.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So this has been set up for the past 5 years, but it hasn't been an issue until somebody else had my number because I was always the person to pick up.
Uh-huh.
Right? Okay. Figured it out. Cleared all of that up with Seth. I was like, okay, point the first. I have no idea what those other websites are or who it is. Like, I know nothing about that stuff. I do not know who Logo Royale is. I make my own logos. I have no need of somebody to make logos for me. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's probably data mining. Right?
I was just looking at those websites for research.
Right. I was just reading them for the articles.
Okay. I was like, but here's what happened with the phone number thing. I've got that fixed. Should not bother you anymore in the future. And he was like, great. I just got a text.
Oh.
And then he sends me a screen cap.
Oh, no.
From a guy that he has gotten a fucking string of texts from, by the way.
Oh, no.
Asking me about my property at 2000 blah, blah, blah address.
Boy.
And I was like, well, point the first, Seth. I believe that you have been data mined, and they believe that your phone number is, in fact, me. Please feel free to tell anyone to buzz off if they message you. There is mm-hmm. no reason anybody that I need to talk to would be messaging your number. Let me know if there's anything you think I can do to help.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was like, okay. Well, this one dude in particular is being mighty persistent and now is not just annoying me, but annoying another total stranger on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm upset. I'm like, maybe Seth will say something because I don't have this guy's number because he hasn't been text messaging my number.
Sure.
He's been text messaging
mm-hmm.
my number from 5 years ago. I was like, okay, well, you know, if it comes up again, I'll see what I can do. But I'm real cranky with this dude at this point. And then this guy sends me a follow-up email. That's like, hey, I wonder if you've had an opportunity to consider my offer on 2000 blah, blah, blah Avenue. And I'm like, we're done here. We are done here, fucker. You did not stop sending me things when I sent you the one-liner of do not send me things. So here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I responded with, hello, please stop texting the number you have for me. It's my old phone number, and the guy you're texting cannot help you. I do not own the property at the place you listed. My mom, the owner, died. You can get it when it goes to auction. Please take me off whatever lists you have and do not contact me again. I have no desire to deal with my dead, abusive mom's garbage. That was it. That's what I sent him, and I feel none bad at all about it.
Nor should you. No, I would have been a lot less diplomatic.
I would have said, no, you sell me your house. I'm going to keep sending you emails until you sell me your fucking house.
I would have been like, okay, look, let's get together for coffee. You bring a $5,000 check, and then I'll tell you what's going on.
Right. Oh, my God. Yes. I should have done that. I could have made $5,000 off this guy. Instead, he responded to me, my apologies. I was not trying to be inconsiderate or bother you. I appreciate the information. Have a great rest of your day, and I apologize again.
Not trying to be a bother or inconsiderate?
He sent me 3 emails.
After you told him to fuck off? One,
the last email after I told him not to. He sent poor Seth, with my old number, at least 7 messages.
And that's not being inconsiderate?
And that's
fuck
not
you.
Being a bother.
He's oh just my. Trying to compliment you.
Yeah.
Oh. What's wrong with trying to compliment someone?
Oh,
did he
you
tell
know,
you
James,
to smile?
You'd be a lot prettier if you smiled more. Yep, there it is.
Oh, no.
So, honestly, I felt mildly bad dropping the dead abusive mother card.
Oh, God, no.
But on the flip side, that's the most use she's been to me in years. So,
again, I would have been a lot less diplomatic, so I think you're fine.
Yeah. I've told telemarketers that my dad was dead, and he's still alive. may I speak to John...
just burst into tears.
Sorry, he died. Yeah, he's not. Yeah. Oh,
see, there's
I'm
no
so
way
sorry.
I can fake the tears on this. I just go into full anger mode. I'm like, no. My abusive mom is dead. Now I have homework, and fuck you for being a part of that.
Can I speak to John Fairbairn? No, and if you find him, tell him he owes me money, that fucker.
That's an actual call I had when someone... I don't know if I should tell this story on podcast. I will tell you both off air, though. And if anybody wants to talk to me directly, I will gladly share this story directly. But I don't think I'm going to throw that out in the public.
That's fair. That's fair.
I did talk about it during Memoirs of a Welfare Queen, but it's been 10 years, so I'm just going to let that one chill. Anyway. That was me dealing with all of that. The email that I got, by the way, happened to happen on Sunday when I was getting my storage locker emptied out.
Woo!
So I had 3 people to help me for emptying the storage locker. One of them was James.
Yay!
One of them was my daughter, Jezza.
And the third
one
was not me.
Not you. Was a Zastera.
Zastera.
Thank you, Salsa.
Zastera. Zastera.
Beautiful.
So yeah, Drew came and helped. And man, he was stalwart. They're bitter end. James and Jessa both had things that they had to go do, so they were in and out at various times. I still appreciated all of their help.
Mm-hmm. Every little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we got everything out of that storage locker in 2 trips, which it's a 10x10 storage locker, so I was pretty pleased with that.
Yeah.
And it was packed, but not like full packed. It was just pleasantly packed the second time around. So.
Probate.
God damn it, James.
Pleasantly packed probate.
So anyway, on the plus side, I got to have my first new visitors to my house.
Woo!
Oh, it's so good.
I cannot wait. The pictures that you posted look gorgeous. I really, really cannot wait.
I'm going to let James talk about how glorious my house is.
All right, James, what did you do this weekend? Or week?
Well, I went to some fencing booth thing.
God damn it. Wait, was there a fencing booth thing?
Oh.
Okay, so you're making the worst callback joke ever.
Right.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to clarify because I was like I was going to miss it anyway, yeah. But I wanted to know if I was missing a thing. Oh, don't do that to me.
I was upset. Yeah.
Right.
That's,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, fuck. So I was basically nonstop, hyper-function, productive, starting on Thursday.
Okay.
Installed 3 air conditioners because it was going to be 90 degrees. Went to the podiatrist to find out what the fuck is wrong with my ankle and foot. Turns out that it's a leg length thing and that wearing special lifts will help.
Just to elevate one.
With
get your hips lined up a little bit better.
Well, I've got a heel wedge to line up the hips, but that means a foot angle problem.
Oh, for okay.
Both feet.
Sure. Yeah, it's throwing everything off. Yeah.
Yep. So that's something that I've been fixing, and my feet already feel a lot better.
Good.
Yay.
Good doctor. Yeah.
Very cool.
And then,
isn't it amazing when you actually can afford healthcare, what you can accomplish?
Right?
Oh, holy buddy.
Shit. And then, Friday, was just like booked solidly, did a bunch of stuff. Saturday, my entire plan for Saturday was just to clean and do all of the chores that I've been avoiding. And so I did 4 loads of laundry, folded them, and put them away, which is unusual for a day.
Sure.
Completely changed my bedclothes and things like that, which I usually do pretty often, but just got lazy about.
Sure.
Reorganized my room so that I have a floor. Cleaned the kitchen, took out the trash and recycling, cleaned out the fridge, went grocery shopping, which was a fucking mistake. I would gladly have paid the delivery fee that I supposedly dodged just not to be there in the aisle of Costco and be stopped and harassed by someone.
Huh.
He stood in front of my cart, this little fucking Renfield looking motherfucker, looking like Peter Lorre could have taken lessons from this guy. He was like, "You don't have to wear that thing." And I had my respirator mask on. And he's like, "Yeah, they hung Tony Fauci. They found him guilty of treason, and they lynched him at a military tribunal, and the Pentagon called for his death, and the whole thing's a hoax. It turns out the whole thing is a hoax, and now that everybody knows it, you don't have to wear that stupid thing anymore. I'll show you where you can look it up." And I just made direct eye contact with him the entire time, which is a response that I've learned from Fest.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody's like, "Well, boy, I got a joke for you." And I'm like, "No, but you do." Right? And just like that. Like,
yeah, you just let them dig their own grave. Yeah.
Yeah. And just, you're done. Okay, great. Yeah. Just let him like tire himself out and leave, which took less than 30 seconds. And I imagine that that's probably a record for him. Mm-hmm. So, he just realized he was going to get no reaction out of me. And I wasn't going to dig my phone out of my pocket to look up the website that he wanted to tell me to find the news, which, of course, would be only reported in one fucking place when it's real news. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some fucking trash website. Yeah. So just direct eye contact and just, I was glad that I didn't have anybody with me for a number of reasons. No, it was just fucking packed.
Mm-hmm.
It was full of nonsense. Traffic was miserable. It just, the I love going to Costco. It's a good place for me to shop, mm-hmm. and they treat their employees well, but I fucking hate shopping now.
Right.
That's too bad. Yeah.
So
I've always had just like Costco has a delightful mix of people when face mask and COVID stuff isn't a thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, because sometimes I just like to stand on the end of an aisle and watch. But lately they've like been getting
their
in faces
hands and touching everything. Like, yeah.
Oh God.
I mean, I was in Costco just a week ago, and it was mm-hmm. a great experience. I very much enjoy Costco. Yeah.
I enjoy the shopping part of it.
Yeah. No, it's too bad you have that experience.
I usually do okay with the people.
Mm-hmm.
But no, just like a singularly bad experience. He just
usually I just watch them.
And then went home, did all of that stuff, got a call from my dad that his computer was broken. Right. He's like, well, the old machine's finally giving up the ghost.
And, yep. Had to go paint some horses.
That. And then he was like, well, when can you be out? And I was like, I don't know. I might have a moment today. Let me figure it out after I'm done with all of everything and see if I can do that before you and mom use the theater tickets that I bought for mom on Mother's Day, but they couldn't use because he forgot his vaccination card, but is vaccinated, but just didn't have.
Right.
Yeah. No, I, yeah.
He didn't have any proof.
I've got a
picture in my phone.
Yeah. Which is a great idea, but I don't trust him to use his phone properly.
Fair.
Which was a different tech call because he somehow erased the built-in apps notes thing, the notes app thing.
I've got my passport and my vaccination card are in notes.
That's a very good idea.
In my phone.
Joe, in fact, set his wallpaper on his phone to his vaccine card.
Oh, nice.
He skipped all of those steps and just went, this is it.
Yeah. No, because when I was traveling in Greece, I needed my passport and my vax card, basically. Okay. And so I just put them in my notes, and I always had them.
My dad was maybe expecting me to go out there on Saturday, and I sent him a text later, and I was like, hey, it's pretty full today and pretty hectic. I'll catch you later. He gave me a call and he's like, well, when do you think you can be out? It's like Monday. Monday. Yeah. Monday.
I have a life, father.
Right. Yeah. This is, you can use mom's
Monday,
old laptop.
Monday.
In the meantime.
Is the day after Sunday.
Right.
And the day before Tuesday.
Where they keep it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a 48-hour turnaround, which on a P3 is pretty good SLA. Yeah.
Right.
So
I understood all of that. And I'm very sad right now.
I did all of that stuff. And then got up quite early on Sunday to prepare for a guest. Had someone over, had a nice little date, and then I tried to get over to Jenna's storage locker on time. And
no, I want you to tell this story.
Fucking failed. Did not happen. So sent a message that was like, I'm weirdly behind time. I'll be there soon. It tells me that I'll be there soon. I'm sure that there is a more direct route to get there. But my car, tiny car, has been having kind of an issue with the navigation console, like the stereo thing where it plugs into the phone. As long as I've had a tiny car, it's been having a problem, and it just occasionally, when I plug my phone in and dial up a location that I've never been to or can't remember how to get to, which is most places because my sense of direction kind of sucks, you know, trends towards the adventuresome. It'll connect and disconnect rapidly. Just boop, mm-hmm. boop, 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 boop. And I can't listen to podcasts and I can't navigate with it and I can't do fucking anything. And so I just have to try to use Dead Reckoning, which is not great. I ended up going down to the first street that I was real sure would go all the way across town, which was like 38th or something. And then it takes a very long time to get across town on 38.
You could have done Lake, but then you would have had to gone down to 38th anyway. It was
Lake is a monstrosity. There's a field we've determined. There's some kind of a distortion field around Lake that makes people extremely cautious with their lives while driving and walking. Operating any vehicle and walking, pedestrians just cross with no regard for death. And then people who are in vehicles next to you also do not love being alive and are quite casual about mortality.
I mean, the other thing is you could have taken 35th, but then you would have had to, because it's along Hiawatha and you can't get there from 35th, you would have had to dip down to 38th anyway.
Actually, I ended up taking a really good route back because it started working, but I got to the location and then couldn't find the right fucking door.
Which is a problem with that building.
Tried every other door first, including parking and trying the office door. Which is the best part.
At your old place?
No,
at the storage locker.
Yeah.
Oh, at the storage. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ, I could not.
Well, and the office happened to be closed yesterday.
Right.
And so, I don't even know that any other day you would have been fine because they would have just told you where to go.
Walk up to this thing, get out, or drive up, get out. There's no car side panel. You have to get out of the car, you have to dial it in, and then get back into the vehicle, which seemed weird to me.
It's their system. Yeah.
After I even went in on the top floor, just drove in onto the top floor, and I was like, is there a ramp down to get to the
downstairs?
There isn't. There's a ramp down, but it's the exit.
Context for our listeners. I had said my storage locker is on the downstairs level. Which implies there is an upstairs and a downstairs, right? That is the setup. So. The exit side has about 5 different doors. Several of them are loading doors. One of them is usually what the exit is, but none of it's clearly marked. Mm-hmm. So, this part isn't James's fault.
I get in there. I get in there and Jenna goes, you could have just sent me a message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I understand that there was confusion and I could have been more like, hey, if you have problems, let me know. But I also kind of assumed if somebody had problems, they would let me know.
Yeah.
This is James we're talking about.
I know.
Got in there, helped out for much of the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then fucked off home to make sure that my partner and I would have food and time to get over to rehearsal. And so we went to the first rehearsal for Death on the Dam, this year's Murder on the Mississippi show.
Wait, are you both in it?
We are both.
Oh my god, it's a cute couple thing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Are any of your other paramours actually involved with the show too?
No, but it's all just, of them want to see.
It's just James and his harem.
No, like, and I didn't mean that in like any kind of a snarky way. I was honestly curious if
it's a fair question.
If it was a double date point, with your various paramours and you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So all of them have expressed interest in seeing it, and I really weirdly kind of hope that they all end up in the same group because it would be so good.
I mean, we can finagle this, James.
Yeah, yeah.
You give me a list, and I can make this happen because it's not weird if I do it because I'm not dating you.
So, yeah, I helped help Jenna.
Neither am I yet.
Yet.
So 41. Yeah.
James is being coy. He hadn't asked me yet.
Yet. So, yeah, I was introduced to Jenna's new place, which is a really fucking kick-ass house.
Do we actually want to, as a question, because we've been going for a bit, do we want to take a break and then just talk about my new place on the next?
I think that sounds like a fantastic idea.
That is sweet. Wonderful.
Excellent. Also, I have to pee. So, okay. Ulterior motive, but here we are.
Sounds like a plan to me. Okay.
All right.
In that case, we're going to take a break, and we will come back for you very shortly, but for us, an indeterminate amount of time, and then we'll talk about Jenna's new place.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
James, we have a topic.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so what are you doing?
But we haven't started yet.
He's trying
and we're
to
back.
Start a conversation.
I'm Salsa.
I'm apparently James.
I'm definitely Jenna. And I have keys to a house.
Woo!
Oh my god, my house is so awesome. I'm so
it's pretty fucking great.
Excited. I will say so, like. James and Jessa and Drew came over to my house yesterday to help move shit into my basement, which was great. But of course, I had to do the tour first. It's very important. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Jessa walks in. She's like, oh, this is everything you want in a house.
Did you have champagne?
No.
Oh.
I am not actually moved in yet.
I suppose.
No.
All right.
They were over to just help get the storage locker stuff into the basement. So it wasn't a move in. That
sure.
is happening next Saturday.
Okay.
When we
bought our house, my sister-in-law brought over a little tiny bottle of champagne like the day after, and so we could show the house to her.
Brought over champagne. That's adorable. Bitch, I got like 8 forms of bubbly on my wine rack right now. Who do you think you're talking to?
We've got champagne as well, but this was just brought a little bottle of bubbly over
just
so she could hit the champagne tour.
Bottle. All right.
A tiny loaf of bread, a tiny shaker of salt.
No, just the champagne.
All right. Well, James, you're in charge of this for the next time you come over.
Yeah.
All right, James.
Tiny everything.
An hour late.
No, Jessa walked in and she was like, "This is everything that you want in a house. Like this is your vibe. These are all. It's this mm-hmm. is the right house character for you." And I was mm-hmm. like, "Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm excited. It's." I had posted a picture on Facebook and somebody was like, "Well, that looks like every Minneapolis house ever because it has the built-in buffet,
which looks great.
Oh my God. It is a gorgeous. I have seen a lot of built-in buffets in my time because I have lived in a lot of places in Minneapolis.
Is that a euphemism?
Not this time.
She had a date like that once?
She had a built-in buffet like that once?
Oh, sweetie, you don't even know the half of it.
She had two built-in buffets like that once.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
No, I think I actually went through and counted. I've lived in 7 different Minneapolis homes. No, Minneapolis or St. Paul, like so cities proper, not suburbs or anything like that. 7 different. This will be the 7th place I've lived in with a built-in buffet. And that's just crazy to any other fucking state or city. But because of when we were at developmentally, the built-in buffet was real goddamn big at the beginning of the century. It just was. That's when we had a bunch of houses built. So, yeah. But this one has the built-in buffet and the staircase, which are just, in my mind, like two of my favorite houses that I had seen got smushed into one.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, my heart. Yes, this is what I wanted. Thank you. I'm going to let James talk about my house, actually, and then I will fill in where James failed.
Correct him?
Yes.
As per usual.
Yeah, as I want to do.
Yeah. Pulled up to a little story James. That is quite handsome, well-detailed on the outside. We went up a series of steps. Always.
Yes.
And there was a little side yard with a barbecue or a grill. I think it's a grill. Handsome little side yard full of hostas and clover and things. And looks like it's not necessarily a completely maintenance-free yard, but a yard that mostly takes care of itself. And surrounded by a cute little fence. And we saw
it's a wrought iron fence, by the way.
The underside
wrought iron in the front and then wood between the two houses.
Very nice. I do enjoy a good wrought iron fence.
The underside of the entertaining deck, which is an upstairs fixture. And then we walked in the front door. Just inside the front door, just absolutely gorgeous floors. There's a beautiful wood staircase with a weird 90-degree turn in the middle, which I have seen in a ton of houses in Minneapolis and St. Paul. We went upstairs. We saw the bedroom, which has an adorable closet, which Jenna says is going to be a tiny recording studio.
Wait, first you saw the master bedroom. That was the office.
Oh, gotcha.
That you're talking about.
Okay. So we saw the master bedroom, which was of a good size.
Yeah, it's a pretty good size. Has 2 walk-in closets.
Very nice.
And then
you commented that they were Jenna height.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, one of them is Jenna height. One of them is human height. And then...
this is fair. I have 0 arguments.
And you make a good point, because I turned to the Jenna size one and I saw that there was a shelf in the back and I was like, you could just set your laptop on it. And you were like, wait. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, then it was like a handsome, well-sized room with good sunlight, lots of windows. And then I went into the smaller bedroom, which would make a really kick-ass office. And the house has fun radiators instead of like difficult to clean behind and objectively terrible radiators that I've had in some houses.
That's fair, actually. Like, yeah. Most of the radiators haven't been painted over or anything.
Right. That too.
Like, they are all just metal radiators, mm-hmm. which is metal phenomenal. Is
fun. Yeah. And then,
what makes a fun radiator?
Well, they don't take up a huge amount of floor space, but they're also not like impeding your view or your foot traffic or anything.
They are
like that.
They're well placed.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
yeah. As opposed to like an obstacle course radiator.
Right. Which I've also, the place that I used to live in, St. Paul, that had radiators, they were just like always fucking keeping you from opening a door fully, or they were difficult to clean behind and shit always fell back there. Or
see, I hate radiators.
I love a well thought out radiator.
No, I just don't like when we were house hunting. I was like, I don't want a house with radiators, because radiators you can't like you can't put furniture in front of them. You know what I mean? You can't put a dresser in front of them, or a cabinet in front of them, or anything like that. It's just like they are where they are, and they just take up space, and they.
I prefer
central.
Mm-hmm. For the radiators that are in my house, the vast majority of them have a cover on top. Mm-hmm. So you can't, I mean, you can set things on the radiators. They become kind of like side tables or things like that.
Yeah.
And the vast majority have all of those pre-built. So they're at least workable as surface areas.
And that's fair.
I love a radiator for the middle of winter when your hat's all snowy.
Yeah.
And your gloves are all snowy, and you just put them on the radiator, and 15 minutes later, you can step out for a cigarette with a warm hat and dry gloves. Beautiful.
I suppose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is not a problem for me.
But, yeah.
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 To each their own. I'm not trying to poo-poo your radiators. I do apologize.
I'm one of those like six of one, half dozen of the others. Yeah. Like I seriously see pros and cons to every form of heating.
Six of one, half a horse.
Yeah. No, so, they're not for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
James, continue the tour of my house.
Smaller bedroom / office has a cute built-in shelf. Fun radiator, as noted. And then an absolutely fucking enormous closet. A closet that I can stand up in and walk through. I was like, wow, no, you're right. This could be an office. And you were like, yeah, this is the one you bed in. But I was thinking of making it into a tiny streaming studio. And I was filled with delight.
As soon as I said the word tiny, James became happy, and then I followed it up with studio, and his face became sheer brilliant glee.
Yeah. This is my shocked face.
Yeah.
So then we went to the Jenna's new upstairs bathroom.
Oh yes.
Which has a clawfoot tub. I love the idea of
that's
being
nice.
Able to fit my shoulders and knees into the water.
Almost feel like a clawfoot tub is wasted on me. I'm not going to complain about it
because it is.
But
a
it's
clawfoot
like,
tub is wasted clawfoot, on no one.
A clawfoot tub for somebody that is tiny and 5'2" like me is like somebody else having dairy and disliking it. Your ability to have dairy is wasted on you. My ability to soak in enough water and space to where James would be comfortable is wasted on me.
I had a friend who's
I suppose it's not wasted, but it is excessive.
And but still wanted to be in the bed, and when she slept, so she had a little carpet staircase built. Right?
Sure.
And Jenna's going to need one of those for her tub. So there's that.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing. Hey, Jenna, James and I are going to be alternating days to come and soak in your tub.
Yep.
So, here's the rule. You clean it afterwards.
I'm cool with that.
My connection froze because you're...
Oh, no. Can you hear me? Can you hear...
Yeah.
Oh, now James is frozen.
Yeah, no, he froze out. Oh, well.
He froze out. Yeah, no, you can use my tub as often as you want, as long as you clean it out afterwards.
Yeah, because I have the
and
same
it's gotta
problem.
It's got to be to my standards clean.
Sure, yeah. No, I've got the same problem that James has, is I just don't fit in a tub most of the time.
We might be able to put both me and Joe in this tub at the same time.
That seems likely.
That is a possibility with this tub. Might be a little cozier than I'd like, but I think we could both fit.
Yeah.
We are tiny people.
Yes, you
and
are.
Yeah, I think we could do it.
As with houses that have built-in buffets, your upstairs has like a built-in...
The linen cabinet is what I call it, because it's not a closet. It's got the drawers that you open up, or the cabinetry on top, but the drawers on the bottom.
Drawers and some drawers. And some flat spots. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were looking at some houses that had some of those built-in like dressers that I thought were really nice, but the rest of the house unfortunately didn't work out, but those are nice. Mm-hmm.
And then then we saw the solarium.
Yes.
I cannot wait.
Which was a fucking gorgeous room.
It's so pretty.
It is.
I'm still not sure what color I'm gonna paint it. I just know that gray is not the right color for that room.
Yeah.
A solarium's got to be like blue or yellow or something like that.
I might even just do an eggshell in there, but it's got to be something warm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like an eggshell is neutral, but it's warm.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful solarium that led out to a deck that was under maintenance.
Missing.
Yeah, it was, as your daughter pointed out, missing the deck part.
My landlord is currently rebuilding the deck because there was the original deck had been built 20 years ago with wood, and there were several planks that had rotted. They hadn't been treated properly and kind of rotted out.
I was about to say 20 years, not that long for a good deck, but.
Yeah,
pretty long for a bad deck.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I wasn't afraid of falling through when I took my tour, but I was like, these boards are not so pretty. And he was like, yeah, I think I might just
some of my friends are
replace
two
of some
me.
Of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to put like a better fence around the top anyway, and some other stuff.
Sure, a railing.
He's just redoing the whole thing, and it'll be ready for me by the 21st.
Awesome.
And that's fine. Yeah, that's a part of the whole extended overlapping.
But still, new deck. Fuck yes.
I know, right? Yeah, I'm in. I don't care. Yep. Fuck and yeah, then, get me a new deck.
And then we saw the first floor. Again, whole place, gorgeous floors, fucking...
It's all hardwood.
Envy. Yep.
Nice.
All of it is... There is no carpeting.
Fuck
it is all hardwood.
Building buffets, big gorgeous windows, large dining room, perfect for gaming.
Yeah. Gonna have some game nights again.
Yep. And then the kitchen was... pretty nicely sized and had like a really beautiful outset little nook surrounded by a counter that was perfect for
nook
prepping.
Or a butler's pantry. I consider it a butler's pantry because
I do
it is
love a butler's pantry.
It's not the long narrow kind of butler's pantry that you normally think of. But it is off to the side, right next to the dining room, but not quite a part of the kitchen.
Sure. No, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. The kind of place where you could listen to a true crime podcast and cut vegetables.
Yep.
So, yeah, that. And then nice kitchen area. Almost all of the counter space is in that butler's nook.
Sure.
And then there's a little, but it's nice. A little half bath on that main floor.
Oh, good.
Yeah, with a slidey door.
Yeah, with a pocket door. It's real cute.
Oh, Yeah, having, because I've seen so many houses where the only bathroom is upstairs, and and it's good that you have one on the main floor.
Well, and the thing is, I've always wanted to have a half bath on the first floor for guests that have mobility issues, right?
Yeah. No, it just makes sense.
It makes sense.
So she put the stairs on the outside.
So I put the stairs on the outside, apparently, because the only way to get into my house is up a fucking flight and a half of stairs. So I'm like, this will be great for... Oh.
Wait.
Like, if somebody can get into my house, you're fine from there. But, right. Like, It's a lot of stairs. It is 15 stairs to get into my house.
Is it just on top of a hill, or what's the story?
Yeah,
there?
It's actually the entire outside is retaining wall.
Mm.
So it is retaining wall on three sides, I think.
Gotcha.
And then my fourth side is a fence shared with the next door, who doesn't have retaining wall, but is definitely up, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like the same kind of banking system you had at your old place where
it's
up, mm-hmm. but it's not like a hill.
Sure.
That kind of a thing.
So
it's a fortress. If Uptown floods, I've got a moat is basically what happens.
Awesome.
Then over to the back door in the basement. The basement is gigantic,
mm-hmm.
and not what I would call finished, but like tidy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, you know, you're not talking about like a dirt cellar or like a grim murder basement. This is.
But the rafters are still exposed and.
Right. Yeah. There's some concrete floor and things like that, but it's got some walls that divide some areas off. And
there is basically a wall that is just missing drywood.
Sure.
Drywall.
Yeah.
Drywall. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, so it's just the beams and stuff, but like if you put some drywall on it, it would be done. Right.
Yep. Sure.
Kind of one of those things.
And your own laundry.
Yes.
Just for you.
Yes.
And
with a delightful little tub.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's more your size.
Yeah. James and I will use the one upstairs. You can use the one downstairs.
Correct. Yep. But
when we have the AON sleepover, that's how we'll do it.
Okay.
AON con. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, a gorgeous house.
A portion of the basement does have kind of a three-wall finished-off thing going with kind of a floor? Question mark? It's like a little padded with a thing on top of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to better describe that. But so, like, yeah, there's like a little less than a quarter of the basement is that.
With, like, right? Youth rec center carpeting.
Sure. No.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm sorry. There is carpeting in the house.
Lied to us
in the I don't even know if it technically qualifies as carpeting.
I think it's more like AstroTurf.
Yeah. That's closer.
Sure.
But yeah. So and then like James said, the basement is. It's not finished, but it is tidy, and I will have my sewing stuff in the one little nook area that's kind of finished off, and I'll have my soap making, candle making, other craft type things over in the other area where I have all of my fabric and my costumes up on shelves right now.
Yeah, it's classier than a murder basement. It's like an autopsy basement.
That's a really good description, yeah.
Yeah.
Just one step down from church basement.
Right.
Like 70s church basement.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's
games. Now you know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So there's that.
So, and cool. Yeah, that's my
It house. Sounds fucking amazing.
I'm so excited. I'm honestly, this is going to be the first time I'm like living in a house proper.
Mm-hmm.
Without roommates, without a child, mostly without roommates. Every other time it was just me and Jess, it's been an apartment, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just me in a house. I'm going to get lost in my own house. I'm gonna be like, hello? Anybody want to come over? Oh, okay.
I don't know what to do when there aren't people.
Yeah, if I don't have people to entertain, I don't know what to do.
I guess I'll just walk around naked.
Yay.
No, just, but all the pictures I saw, just, I appreciated all of the, like, woodwork and stuff like that that I saw. I do, I love woodwork as opposed to, you know, people who paint woodwork need to be, like, taken out back and taught a lesson.
I was going to say there's a special place in hell, but I don't think they want them there either.
No, like, they get to the ninth ring, and they're like, we don't have any further for you to go.
Yeah.
But you should.
Yeah.
The so start digging.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the beautiful stained wood, just, yeah. Oh. I can't
and
wait.
It is gorgeous.
Yeah. I've looked at the pictures and have very much wanted to be physically in the space.
Well, as soon as I get things moved in and we hit a bit more of a dip in COVID stuff, I'll probably have a gathering. So,
yeah, a little housewarming.
Yeah. Right now we're in this weird plateau area. I want a dip before I start housewarming proper. I'm just not quite comfortable. I'm comfortable going out and doing things, but I'm not comfortable being an epicenter for that right now.
No, definitely. I mean, we did the exact same thing when we moved. We were like, oh, we're going to make Pi Day be our housewarming. And then Pi Day came and it was like, no, goodness, no, this is it.
Nope.
We're having a big spike in the fucking Delta variant. And we're just like, nope, this is not happening.
Yeah.
So we still haven't had our housewarming. So,
all right, you can have your housewarming on Saturday. I'll have my housewarming on Sunday. Not this weekend, though. Like, we'll just plan.
Oh, goodness, no, not this weekend. It's my son's weekend. It's my son's birthday this weekend.
Yay!
So, yeah, he's getting big.
Yay!
Is there anything else to say about your house, or should we go take a break?
I think James primarily covered everything.
Right.
Like, I could go into depth on it for like another half an hour, but I did find out
style dock out the backyard or out the back door.
Oh God! So my back door. Here's the thing about my yard. I'll close up on this. So my backyard. My front yard is pretty much just stairs.
Uh-huh.
I have a side yard to the west of me that has like patio and like walkway and hostas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not very big, but it is big enough.
Sure.
I think I'm going to say as far as a yard, and like, yeah, it's just hostas and clover and everything like that. Hostas. At the back of the side yard is the shack that James alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
Which is underneath where the deck is that my landlord is rebuilding now. Behind that shack, there is the tiniest of walkways to get to the south side of my house proper, which is all concrete except for 2 1-by-6-foot empty spaces of not concrete. There is dirt in there, and I have some aloe vera plants growing, apparently.
Huh.
Yeah, it's not super pretty back there, but I might plant some things and see if I can do any form of gardening just to see if I can make anything happen back there. Mm-hmm.
Just throw something that is really easy to grow, like onions or chives and garlic or something like that.
I want chives, mint, and dill are the three
those
herbs
are good.
That I want.
Those
are my top three. In fact, I was like, guess what things I want to plant, Joe? And he was like, mint, chives, and dill. And I was like, yep.
Ding, ding, ding.
But then if you keep walking around on the east side, my yard is basically just, I don't know, 2.5 to 3 feet of cement. That is just what the east side is going along the alley. It's just all cement.
Mm-hmm.
But because my house is up, it's all cement 5 feet up from the alley. Like, So it's like alley, and then there's a 5-foot wall, and then there's my 3 feet by like 25 foot long cement chunk. I have a fortress. I have a fortress.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could literally post guards, because there's also the wrought iron fence that I was talking about goes all the way around.
Oh my God.
The slide.
Jesus. So if the zombie apocalypse happens, we're going to Jenna's.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to have to adjust one of the gates slightly. So that instead of gating the side yard, it'll gate in between, like at the very top of the stairs, but
modifications that
we
can do in an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be easy modifications, but they will need to happen right away.
Mm-hmm. And then trebuchets.
Yes.
Naturally.
Absolutely.
From the deck.
Now I want a trebuchet as a zombie.
You need mini siege engines on your deck.
Ooh.
Dear listeners, let Jenna know what siege engine she needs to get for her deck. If you have any thoughts about what we've just been talking about, hey, go ahead and send us a message. Go ahead and write a comment on the Facebook post, or go to our Discord and chat in the general chat. There's a link. If you are not already on our Discord, go to the link on our website to get into the Discord, and then join the conversation there. We've got all sorts of channels about not only general chat, but what you've been reading, watching, playing, drinking, things like that. Anything else, or should we take a break?
Oh, no, I need to pee again.
Let's take a break.
My God. Okay, so James, let's talk for another 20 minutes.
I've been drinking a lot of water, and fuck you, Salsa. I hate you. You're a jerk.
What?
So here's my thoughts about all of Shakespeare.
Okay, well, begin at the beginning.
I think we should take a break, because Jenna's giving me dagger looks.
Daggers and middle fingers all the way down. Bitch.
Daggers and middle fingers is on my nipples. James and I were both on that one. All right, we're going to take a break.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. Box of Twinkies. Not just
and anyone. We're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
Which I am completely prepared for, I
oh
swear.
Oh my God. Do you know how much time was in between these segments? You could have grabbed that at any
no, they don't.
Point.
Oh, and, but it's okay, divided. Because well, today's Fast Five this. Comes to us from... Troy.
Well, that just kind of fell apart at the end.
I mean, the guitar, and it's like,
look, I would have been ready, but I was looking at kilts. Anyway.
Oh, no, that is a fair excuse, then.
Yeah.
So Troy says, opening thoughts, greetings, Apropostors. I hope you're having a lovely week. I'd hate for Jenna to need to do a Fast Five. She's probably tired from moving stuff into her new place. So here we go.
Yes.
Fast Five, question number one.
Ding.
Magic. Or science?
Do you believe in magic?
Do you believe in science?
Bill. I'm a science guy.
Bill. Yeah.
Inertia is a property of matter.
Yes, James, we mm-hmm. get it.
Yeah, but now it's just playing in my head.
Yeah. I may have started this science. One accidentally. I'm sorry, Salsa.
A lot of drinks for science, and not very many for magic.
Sci-fi or fantasy?
Oh shit, that changes things.
Yeah. I'm going to go fantasy. I like me a good fantasy story, regardless of its medium, whether it is through a video game, through a book, I prefer medieval to steampunk, although I do still enjoy steampunk, let's be clear. Like, overall, I'm going to go fantasy.
No, I agree. I'm full fantasy. I do like me some dungeons and swords and dragons and wizards and stuff.
Yeah.
However, I love both Terry Pratchett and Douglas Adams, who are mm-hmm. effectively the same author in different genres.
Very similar, yeah.
Douglas Adams first.
All right. So you're going to go science.
So I'll go with science.
I mean, honestly, one of my favorite series, and I'm biased in this, but it is still my favorite series regardless, is Stephen Bruce, mm-hmm. The Teltosh series. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love those.
It's kind of a mix after a while. Like, mm-hmm. they talk about energy and magic stuff, but then they start to get into, like, the beings that came before and like all of these other things. And like, I don't want to spoil too much. The more you get into it, the more there's like a sci-fi kind of backdrop. Yeah. And I love how he was able to do a combination of the two. It was really impressive to me. Mm-hmm. Read Stephen Bruce, the end.
I second that completely. Mm-hmm.
So, magic, science?
Yep.
All right.
Seems to be. All right. Question number two.
Oh, no.
What has he done? What have you done, Troy? What have you done?
Oh, you'll like this.
Okay.
Colors. Or salsa.
Oh my god.
Fuck.
Oh, that I don't
Wow.
Troy, you may have replaced Mav on my list of favorite Fast Fivers. Mav hasn't done anything for me lately, so yeah. Look, like Mav had a good run, but what have you done for me lately?
Yeah,
do ooh, 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 yeah.
So,
I'm not sure, and never have I had to pronounce colors. So importantly, against the backdrop of salsa.
Okay.
I'm actually going to go salsa.
Oh.
I think that it is harder and therefore more rewarding to do creative endeavors with something that poses a challenge, like trying to do front-end web development with color blindness, for mm-hmm. instance, as opposed to being able to see beyond the regular range of human visible colors. And there's a specific name for it. I just can't think of what it is.
Tetrachromia.
Thank you. If you happen to have that ability, a lot of color-based things are going to be easier for you, but might not be as fulfilling. So I'm going salsa for the first time ever.
Pretty much. As a child, I did not watch In Living Salsa. So, I'm inclined to agree with, well, I guess, no, you ended up on salsa, didn't you? Okay.
I did.
So I might.
Don't say it like that, James. Please change the phrase.
Well, there was that one night.
Nope. There sure the fuck wasn't.
Jenna emphatically did not have a date like that.
Nope.
Once. No.
Did not.
No.
No. Nope.
So, yeah.
So you're going colors. Mm-hmm. I'm going salsa.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going salsa because I like me and fuck colors.
Never before has the emphasis been so important.
just mulling that over.
Yeah.
All continue. Right. Question number three. Mm-hmm. Cork or peg? Yeah, now the obvious would be cork board or peg board.
Right.
But
yeah.
And if it is the obvious, then I would go pegboard.
I would also go pegboard.
I feel like
I'm a cork board.
Oh really? Oh, I like pegboard. But I feel like this it's too obvious, and corks are what you pull out of wine bottles.
I mean, and the real answer for me is a magnetic whiteboard. Because then I can stick stuff to it and draw on it. Very important combo for me. But a cork board, you can get T-pins and use those to hang things off of. But you can also push in like smaller, flatter things and hang various papers more easily on it. I don't have a lot of... Like, all of my heavy tools fit into a bag. I don't need a pegboard for hanging that type of thing off of. So that's why I would go there. Otherwise, if it's wine versus whatever, I'm probably going to go wine. What was peg? Peg for a keg, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
In which case, I'm still going cork. Cork all the way, bitches.
Given a choice between Corky Romano and Peg Bundy, I would go Peg Bundy.
Okay. This is going to be one of those weird instances where James is like out of nowhere context Jesus, is not. Correct.
Nobody wants that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go Peg. Yeah, I'm going to go peg.
All right.
I don't feel good about it, but I'm good. I don't feel good about it, but I'm going to go peg.
All right.
Question number four. Rhythm or melody?
Oh. Fuck.
More likely to sing along. Or are you more likely to drum on your steering wheel?
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
I play a lot of stringed instruments and I play various styles of drum. I'm both rhythm and melody, and even if you want to take it that far, a lot of the instruments that I play are melody instruments. Mandolin and guitar, not so much, but like harp, keys, violin. Yeah, like those are kind of my three primaries, and they're all melody instruments.
See, I'm a baritone. I'm a harmonizer.
Yeah.
So I don't do melody. I do harmony.
Right.
But I'm also a guitarist and a drummer, so I got to go with rhythm.
Yeah, this is real hard for me. Because, the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. As she looks over at her four different drums in that specific corner. Behind the keyboard and the harp, and right. in front of the guitar, the mandolin, and the violin. Okay, so here's a story. So elementary school, I went to a music magnet. And I had orchestra with an orchestra teacher, right? Mr. Stripling. Which was the saddest name for an elementary school orchestra teacher ever. But he was a great, wonderful person. Fantastic teacher. Also happened to be friends with my grandpa. Huh. Who taught elementary school orchestra in Duluth. So anytime like I left my violin at school, Mr. Stripling would tell me he was going to tell my grandpa. And my grandpa was a scary dude. So, that happened twice in my history of elementary school.
Jeez.
But at one point, I was having a conversation with Mr. Stripling, and I was like, hey, I'm enjoying learning all of these stringed instruments. I would love to spend some time with drums. And what my orchestra teacher said to me, and I think this was pretty much to try to just keep me focused on a one goddamn thing at a time. Mm-hmm. But what he said to me was, any idiot can play the drums. You play strings. And on the one hand, there are very different and very practiced techniques that you need to do to play strings. Otherwise, it just sounds like screeching. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a harp, which is gorgeous no matter what the fuck it does. But yeah, otherwise it just sounds awful. I get where he was going with that, which is strings require more practice to be able to pull even a fucking tone out of, right? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I have met drummers that are so incredibly good at what they do. Mm-hmm. They can tell you, like, where not just what the tribal rhythm is, but how that might translate into jazz. And I fucking, if you can't, that is one of the most mind-blowing things to me, is to take a tribal rhythm like a shift to telly and just be like, this is how I would translate this into a jazz piece. Fucking, that is some of the most mind-blowing shit ever. So the short answer is, I don't know. I guess I'm going melody.
I learned to whistle when I was real young.
Mm.
So I have to go with melody.
Sure. So rhythm, melody, melody?
I think that's the case.
Yeah, right. I'm unhappy about my melody, by the way, because rhythm is so goddamn important. Mm-hmm. I figured. We kept talking, but
so two rhythms and a melody, and I was like, okay, and then it dropped. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, question number five.
Five.
Annotation.
No, James went to do the five thing, but I could only hear the first five.
He tried to
echo, but there was no echo. It was just the five.
Yeah.
And that was hilarious to me.
Probably the volume gate.
Yeah.
Sorry. Question number five.
Anyways, go ahead.
Annotation or commentary?
Ooh.
Would I rather look through somebody's essay and make little notes along the way?
Mm.
Or would I rather read through the whole thing and then just do a commentary on it afterwards?
Hmm.
I'm probably better at commentary, but I would probably annotate it first, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that I knew I had all of the points that I wanted to make in my commentary, but I would still be driving for commentary.
Sure.
So commentary.
Mm. Nice.
After I watch a movie that I really like, I don't know that I've ever sat through the commentary for more than maybe one movie ever. And I don't think I could tell you what movie it was. I don't remember. It may never have happened. I don't have a clear memory of it. So I would have to say annotation, because I will, for a movie that I love, I will go and read all of the trivia on IMDb.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Salsa's still thinking about it. Also, I can't see you, Salsa.
Oh, can you not? Oh, that's after. Yeah, okay.
After the thing.
Yeah, after
which is fine. Like,
out.
In general, I'm okay with not seeing you.
I am really stumped on this one.
I think because Troy told us he did not put as much thought and effort into this one as he is at least putting into his next
one. No, that's
one.
True, but I mean,
I think the lesson here is you don't have to overthink it.
The thing is even having a guess as to what the context is, I don't know what my answer is.
Fair.
I'm gonna go commentary.
All right.
Yep. For better or worse, that's where I'm going. All right. Now we go to the context. Blah, da, 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 da. Question number one, magic or science? Mm-hmm. You are turned into a fictional character in a fantasy or sci-fi story.
Oh.
Would you rather wield the power of magic or the power of science beyond our current understanding? And as we all know, there is no difference. Science, suitably advanced science is indiscernible from magic. I would absolutely use fucking science or magic, though. If I'm turned into a fictional character, I'm being a fucking magic user. Hell yeah.
Absolutely same. I slightly disagree with certain aspects of how you got there, but I definitely want to be the magic user in this situation.
I think I'm still going with science.
Okay.
All right.
Still going with science, because in almost all magic user stories, you know, this young wunderkind encounters an intensely magically powerful foe, or some kind of magic that no one's ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And while that's thrilling and that kind of stuff, like, I don't want to get turned into anything. I don't want to. Yeah.
That would be an amazing experience. Are you kidding?
Man. Yeah.
If you told me right now that I could be turned into a cat, I would fucking do it. Are you kidding?
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. But
that'd be amazing.
A cat right now.
Yeah, I would absolutely lick my own butthole if I could.
None of this surprises me. Like, I'm like, I would love to be a magic user so that I could, like, you know, like, help with world hunger or some shit, figure out how to make crops grow faster, figure out distribution areas, maybe magic up a couple of houses for the homeless. And Salsa's like, I want to be a cat.
Oh my, yep. No, I would, I'm sitting here going, I would become a fucking performer and I would tour the country doing magic shows all over the place.
Hoverboards and teleport.
I would use my magic entirely for selfish and entertainment reasons.
Guess what general character I would play in D&D when I did that. Go ahead and make a guess. Go ahead and make a guess, gentlemen.
Paladin?
Cleric.
I was close with Paladin.
Also sometimes Paladin, yeah.
Yeah, I was about to... You've got the knifey stabby, so I was going Paladin on that, but...
Nah, that's fair. When I started playing D&D, we didn't have Paladins, so, you know.
Back in my day.
We're going to advance beyond this right now.
When dinosaurs rolled initiative.
Question number two.
What did you call me?
Lurs or salsa? Would you rather be able to taste colors or see salsa?
I like seeing salsa. I can already taste colors.
No one wants to see salsa. What the fuck? It's
I am the one that was like, hey, salsa, we can't see you. I did not tell you to turn your camera back on, but I did state that we couldn't see you.
That's true.
God damn it.
All right.
However, I cannot currently taste colors, and I really want to be able to do that.
That would be pretty cool.
I have a mild synesthesia.
Yeah, I was like, I think James has some of this covered, but I'm curious, man.
So James like, can taste colors and see salsa.
Everybody knows what purple tastes like, but what about the rest of the rainbow? Mm. That's really what I want.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three, cork or peg? That's pretty much what we thought. Would you rather have a cork board for ideas or a peg board for hanging tools? And peg board is absolutely what I would go for.
Cork board. I want a whiteboard. I want a magnetic whiteboard. Mm-hmm.
But you can't have one.
I want a room
one.
Full of magnetic whiteboards. Maybe
just,
that's what
just
I'm
a
doing
room
with my office.
That's nothing but the walls are nothing but magnetic whiteboards.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Yes.
Question number four. Question number four, rhythm or melody? Which sticks in your head? A song's rhythm or its melody?
It all depends.
That really depends on the song.
It depends on the song. It depends on what the melody is doing and what the rhythm is doing. Because sometimes the rhythm is just a boom, tick, boom, boom, tick, boom, tick, boom, boom, mm-hmm. tick, boom, boom. That gets boring after like the 38th measure or whatever.
Seven Nation
so,
Army.
But yeah, other times the rhythm is doing some incredible stuff and the melody is just kind of like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Toxic by Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. What do you remember?
That opening strain on the violin.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I don't know. How's the song go?
That's way too pretty. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Let's argue about it.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Da, 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 da.
Not ringing a bell.
Da, 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 da.
She's in character.
I'm gonna go with. On the whole, I'd probably say melody more often than rhythm, but there are absolutely songs that are more rhythm.
I'm addicted to you. I know that
right now that's going to be stuck in your head. Toxic by Britney Spears is one of Joe's favorite songs, by the way, mm-hmm. musically. It's pretty impressive. There are some breakdowns on YouTube. I highly recommend looking them up. I'm going to say there are more songs that I will recognize by melody than by rhythm. Like Under Pressure or Ice-Ice Baby. Yeah. I mean, that's the bass line, but it is still also the rhythm of that song.
Yeah.
That's, it is what pushes the rhythm. But so many more. I'm just like, no, I will remember, I think, the melody more overall.
Definitely.
So, all right.
Here we go.
All right. Question number five, annotation or commentary. Would you rather read an annotated book or watch a movie with director commentary? Well, I got this completely wrong. I'm switching. The annotated book, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Director's commentaries just bother me.
Depends on the director, but it depends on the commentary.
I want to see, like, a special, like, side thing with the director and the cast talking about things, but if they talk about it during the movie, I'm just like, shut up, I'm trying to watch a movie here.
If I've seen the movie already, then I want the commentary. If I have read a book already, I want the annotations a second time through. I will not pay attention to them the first time regardless. I want... And this almost, it goes into spoiler territory for me. I want the presented complete thing without any extras before I start putting extras into it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you made a thing with a specific parameters, and that is what I want to ingest before I start looking for annotation, commentary, spoiler reviews, any of that bullshit.
Unless you're reading Terry Pratchett, in which case the annotations are part of the story.
That's true. Terry Pratchett, the annotations are 100% a part of the story and a part of the package.
The presentation, yeah.
Yep. So Terry Pratchett aside, I honestly, at the end of the day, the writer, the author, the artist, whatever, is presenting a piece. And I want the unadulterated piece first.
Sure, yeah.
So that I can have the unadulterated piece's experience. And then, because I do have somewhat of an obsessive type, I will start to pull in. I want the commentary. I want the YouTube clips. I want the whatever. I want the Easter eggs. I want, yeah, absolutely. But I want it unadulterated first.
Absolutely. I, when I'm watching a movie, I get invested in and absorbed into it. And it doesn't matter if I've seen the movie once or a dozen times. It just, the way my brain works is I wrap myself into the story. My brain locks onto the story. It becomes a problem if I'm at like a party or something like that where there's a TV on, because I will absolutely just get sucked into it.
I understand that entirely.
I also can't go to bed if there's like a movie or something on TV, because I can't not watch it. Whereas if there's a director commentary or something, I'm just like, shut up, I'm trying to see this movie. whereas when I'm reading a book, I want all of it. I want the annotations. I want everything. I want to get every little bit of that I can get out of it. I want to be wrapped up in all of this stuff. So,
yeah. But one of my favorite ways to watch a movie is with commentary from a person and two robots. So,
I don't know if that's commentary.
But again, that is the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Like, yeah, that is a completely different thing. That is the story.
To you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll go annotated book.
Okay.
I always read the footnotes the first time through.
Yeah. I love footnotes. All right. Troy wraps this up by saying, I don't know why, but the last few questions are always the hardest to come up with. Do you find that to be true as well? Hey, that's a sixth question, Troy. How dare you? Love and cashews, Troy to Troy.
Troy.
Indeed. I mean, sometimes, I guess, it is always one of those things where you're like, the first three are just like, oh, I've got this theme. And then you start to go, maybe I'll put. So, yeah, I'm going to agree. There, you get a sixth answer, Troy. This time, everybody gets one. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please go to the website, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. It's that easy. It's so easy, Troy could do it.
wow.
Hey. He took pot shots at me. I'm going to take pot shots at him.
That's fair.
Fair.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just, but it is fair.
Does anybody have a shout out?
I would like to give a shout out to Drew and James and Jessa for helping me move.
Yeah.
Storage stuff, not the rest of the house stuff. I hired people for
this.
That
is both just and fair.
Haha.
I would like to give a shout out to Fat Lorenzo's on Cedar. Their food is real good. Their portions are amazing. And everything's real affordable. Their wait staff are hilarious and personable. We went there on Friday, had a great time.
And they have gelato.
Such gelato.
I am really, really going to miss not living next to them.
Mm-hmm. All of this does nothing for
me. There's also a hamburger place close to there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you may have heard of it.
Nope.
Thank you. I'm going to give my shout out to my daughter, who, as I already mentioned earlier in this podcast, did an amazing job of helping out her papa at a Renaissance festival and did it all, like I said, with a smile and a laugh. And just absolutely charmed everybody around her. Absolutely full props to her.
Awesome. Oh, she is such a cutie.
Indeed.
She's so capable. Like, she wasn't born a 40-year-old woman like Jessa, but she has still kind of got those, like, older person vibes. Like, I'm going to
She's the oldest sibling, and she is a person. Like, she is a fully independently brained human.
Early to mid-20s kind of a vibe, honestly. Like, she's ready to go out and conquer that world.
Oh, fuck
Jessa,
yeah.
Jessa, when she was Lil Beth's age, just was done with everything. she was a 40-year-old woman. She was like, nope, fuck you.
No, my daughter's still a little bit more starry-eyed, but I think my daughter will always be a little less sarcastic than your daughter. So
good.
Yeah,
I'm glad one of us was less influential in our childhood.
Hold on, let me rephrase that. My daughter will still be sarcastic. She will be a little less dark sarcasm.
Okay,
all right,
that's fair. Yeah.
She's got a little bit more of the princess.
Yeah,
in her, but she still has a sarcastic streak.
Which is funny because one of Jess's nicknames is Princess. For Human Combat Chess. But it's Sword Princess, so it's a little different, I think.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
I do have a show on June 2nd. I'll be performing for what is it? Oh, God, I can't think of the name of it right now. It's a thing that I do all the time. Slam storytelling. Fuck. Mm-hmm. produced by Slam MN as a part of their Slam Storytelling series. Winners get to move on to advanced ranks. I already have a spot. But if you're not doing anything on June 2nd, which most people are, because as soon as I agreed to do the show, everything got planned for June 2nd. I am missing out on like 3 different shows that I wanted to see and a fire and fucking another different hangout thing. And like somebody needed help with a thing. And I'm like, sorry, y'all. I agreed to do this show like 2 days before you asked. But that will be at Strike Theater, the home of storytelling in the Twin Cities area. And the topic is fish out of water. And I think I actually have an amusing story as opposed to a depressing one this time. So, I know, right? Ostensibly I've done comedy. So yeah, just not usually in the storytelling arena. So show up and see if I can be funny on top of storytelling and still make it poignant. And tickets are available already, so do that.
All right. Anything else? Anybody? Bueller? All right. Are there any final thoughts?
Yes, I would like to say bye-bye, love you, bye-bye-bye.
All right. In that case, thank you so very much for listening to this episode. Thank you to Troy for sending in the Fast Five on behalf of myself and James and Jenna. Eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal jazz fingers.
Verbal jazz fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.